We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17 tonight. And we are going to dissect it and divide it and look at it very closely tonight to get the meaning of what God has for us in these particular verses. Can you see that okay? All right. If you can't, get to where you can. Paul writes to Timothy. You'll notice I have these divided up in different colors because these are what we would call propositions or units of thought. There are six of them here in this passage. So notice what he says. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And those are the words of Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for your blessings on our life. We pray that you would help us and you would guide us tonight, that we would find clarity in your word, that you would be pleased, and that you would speak to us, reveal yourself and your will to us, and God, that you would give us ears to hear your word. And we will be grateful and thankful for what you will do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now on Wednesday nights, what I want to do in when we get done with Proverbs is still go through books, but go through books like this, taking a passage at a time, keeping it before you, and then beginning to show you some things, and hopefully you see things clearer and better, and then hopefully you'll be able to yourself look at a passage of Scripture and do these same things as well. And feed yourself through your word. Looking at this passage, I think the key here is in this word, continue. That's what Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then everything else is sort of springing from this idea or this command that Paul is giving Timothy to continue. Now, let's see why Paul wants and is urgent for Timothy to continue. Let's look here at the Scriptures. Can you see that? Any? Just want to read verses 1 through 5 and then 12 and 13 of this same chapter. Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We are in the last days, amen? "In these last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." He says, "From such these turn away." And then look at verse 12 and 13 that are also highlighted here. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and having been deceived." Now, doesn't that sound like 2015 America? We're seeing that all around us. There's lovers of selves, lovers of pleasures more than God. Sin is everywhere, and God's people are going to undergo persecution. Now, when we face persecution, or when we face a surroundment of sinfulness and ungodliness and self-centeredness, the temptation for us is to compromise the Word of God. It certainly is a temptation, I think, in Paul's mind for Timothy. So he tells him, do not give up, don't give up, continue. Don't compromise, don't shade the truth, but you stick with the stuff, amen? You stick with the Word. And what do we need to do under persecution? And what do we need to do in a society that is full of sinfulness? What do we need to do? We need to continue. Not give up, not back up, but continue. Amen? Now, let's notice some things here about this text. It says here that Paul is to continue, and then he tells us what he's to continue in. Here he says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let me grab this. Them. Now, I think here, what he's talking about, the things and the them, is the Holy Scriptures. You see that? So continue thou in the things, knowing of whom you have learned them, and the things and them being the Holy Scriptures. So what we could say is Paul is saying, continue thou in the Holy Scriptures, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures from, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So what are we to continue in? The Word, the Holy Scriptures. Don't compromise the Word. Don't shade the meaning of the Word. Don't give up the Word. And there are many churches today giving up the Word for a crowd. Amen? To try to meet some felt need, they have given up the Word. Paul says to Timothy, continue. Don't give up the Word. Now let's look here at some definitions. The word continue means to remain, to abide, to not depart. Do not depart from the Word. Knowing of whom? I think the whom there is Lois and Eunice, his mother and his grandmother. That from a child thou hast known or been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. And then it says, it is profitable, it's useful, it accomplishes something. And it's able to make the man of God perfect. That means to be complete or to be mature. Amen? So that's where we are. We've sort of looked at that, and now we have to take these six propositions, and we have to now find out how they relate one with another. So let's begin that process. Number one, if we are to continue in the Holy Scriptures, how does Paul tell Timothy to do that? Or how does he structure this instruction to tell him to continue? I think firstly, he tells him to continue in his convictions. Continue in his convictions. Now, I get this from the very first part of this text. Continue. Well, I don't know why it's doing that. Let's see. Oh, I see what it's doing. Let me do this. continue. Continue in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, and whom thou hast learned them. All right? Now, let's look at the word learned. Continue thou in the Holy Scriptures which thou hast learned. Which thou hast learned. That's the one we want. Now, to me, these are his convictions of the Word of God. So he has learned these, or he has apprehended this truth. The truth of the Scripture has been preached to him. It has been taught to him. It has been brought to his attention, to his mind, and to his heart. And he has received that as truth. He has apprehended that the Scriptures are true. What the Scriptures say about Christ, what the Scriptures say about salvation, what the Scriptures say about regeneration, all of those things are true. He has learned these things. He has apprehended these truths. These things have been accepted by him. Amen? So, if you have accepted, if you have apprehended these truths, and you have decided, yes, these are true, then isn't that a part of your conviction? He is convinced and he is convicted that the Holy Scriptures are true. And then he has been assured of these things. In other words, he has believed these things. He's not just heard these things. He's not just decided that in his mind those things sound plausible and those things sound right and true. But in his heart, he has believed these things. The very truths of the Scripture he has believed. The very tenets of the Word of God he has believed. And he has assured himself that these things are true. Amen? They are true. So he has apprehended the truth. He has come to some sort of assurance or belief that these things are true. And then Paul says, look at those who have taught you, the ambassadors of this truth, knowing whom you've learned them from. That would be, I think, Eunice and Lois, mother and grandmother. Remember that Timothy was born to a Greek father who would have been an unbeliever, but mother and grandmother have helped him become acquainted with Scripture. I think it's Lois and Eunice, because it says here in the following sentence that from a child he has known the Holy Scriptures. And the people that had taught him from a child the Holy Scriptures is Eunice and Lois. Now, let me say something here. I think sometimes we get in too big a rush and hurry for our kids to come to some sort of decision about Christ. What we are ambassadors. What mom and grandmother are ambassadors. What we do is tell them. We can't save them. We can make them acquainted with Scriptures. We can keep the truth of Scriptures before them, but we cannot save them. We have to trust that God will do that. Amen? And so here we see that Lois and Eunice have kept the Scriptures in front of young Timothy, and those things have come to fruition later on in his life. So here's what he says. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the truth of the Scriptures. You received it as truth. You proved it in your heart and in your mind. You believed it. And then he says, look at the character of your mother and your grandmother. Not only did you hear the Scriptures, but you saw the Scriptures lived out. You saw the power of God through the Scriptures in the very life of your mother and your grandmother. Amen? In other words, you had reliable witnesses. You had reliable sources of the Scripture. They did not lead you wrong. Look at their character. They're still sticking with the stuff too. And you do as well. So he says here, what you need to do is you need to continue in your convictions. Remember what you have heard. Remember what you have believed. And remember who has taught you them. That is important. Amen? Especially important when you hear false gospels, false teachings from teachers who don't last very long. Amen? Well, why would I believe what they said was true when it doesn't seem to be true for them? Why would I believe that the Scriptures have any sort of power when it seems it had no power in them? And so the conviction of Timothy, according to Paul, was you heard the truth, you believed the truth, look at those who taught you the truth, you were convicted that these things are true, so continue in them. They haven't suddenly become not true because the world is full of sin. They suddenly haven't become not true simply because you are going through persecutions and trials and troubles. Amen? So continue in your convictions. Number two, continue in your confidence in the Scriptures or in the Word. Now I get that from the following here. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now Timothy's not a child anymore. Timothy is an adult. He is a pastor of the church at Ephesus. But notice how Paul puts this. From a child thou hast heard the Holy Scriptures, and these same Holy Scriptures that you heard as a child are the same Holy Scriptures that you are now to continue in. And I want to say something about the permanence of the Word. Our culture changes, our world changes, ideas change. What used to be an awful thing 20 years ago is now accepted. Amen? What was an embarrassment 20 years ago is now celebrated. So everything changes except what? The Word of God. The same Word, the same Scripture, the same doctrines, the same teachings that you learned as a young boy on the knee of your mother and your grandmother, continue in that, because while the world changes and men change and hearts change, situations change, the Word of God doesn't change. The Word of God is the one thing that you know is the same today as it was 20 years ago. Listen to me, if it was a sin 20 years ago, it's still a sin today. If it was wrong 30 years ago, it's still wrong today. If it's wrong today, it'll be wrong 20 years from now. Amen? The Word of God is permanent. It is fixed. It is absolute, objective truth. It can be trusted. Put your confidence in this Word, because while this world changes and while your situation changes, the Word doesn't change. Continue in it. Not only the permanence of the Word, but the power of the Word. Now watch this. He says here, the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Not only is the Word that which you should put confidence in, because it is permanent, it is fixed, it is true in every time among every kind of people. There's nothing subjective about the Word of God. Listen. The idea that this is true for you and yet my opposite belief is true for me is a farce. The Word of God is absolutely true in all places at all times. And it has the power to deliver wisdom to those who are foolish so that they may know of salvation. Understand this. Salvation doesn't come outside of the Word. How will they believe if they haven't heard? And how will they hear if God doesn't send a preacher? Amen? So these scriptures, this book that you hold in your hands tonight, it has the ability to make people wise unto salvation. It has the power to save through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now notice this. Paul wants to make sure we understand that the Word of God has the right salvation. He says, it is able to make ye wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. How are we saved? By hearing the Word. And the Word gives us faith. The Word brings us faith. Through the Word, through hearing of the Word, we receive faith, which is in whom? Christ Jesus. The Word of God clearly shows us and reveals to us the Savior, the Messiah, the one who has died for us in our place, the one in which salvation is made possible for us, Christ Jesus. Faith is in Christ. And the Scriptures make us wise to that salvation. Now, a salvation by works is not in here. A salvation by baptismal regeneration is not in here. A salvation by any other means is not in here. But the Scriptures reveal to us the wisdom of salvation, of faith in Christ Jesus for our salvation. Amen? Have confidence in the Word of God, not only because it's permanent, not only because it doesn't change, but it has the power to change men's hearts. Now, I think in America, tonight we think we have an ISIS problem, don't we? ISIS is killing people and beheading people. We have an ISIS problem. Or maybe we think that we have an Iran problem. We have a nuclear problem on our hands with Iran and the latest treaty that has been signed. Maybe we think we have a racist problem in America. Maybe we think we have a marriage equality problem. You notice how they pretty that up. I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't have an ISIS problem. We don't have an Iran nuclear problem. We don't have a racist problem. We don't have a marriage equality problem. We have a sin problem. And the only answer for sin is the gospel. And the gospel is made wise to us through the Scriptures. Amen? Why would we not continue in them? Because the only hope for men who have wrong affections, men who are sinners, the only hope for them is what? The gospel. We can't change them with persuasion. We can't change them with treaties. We can't change anyone. We can't even change ourselves. What has the power to change them is the Word of God. Why would we not continue in that? Timothy, continue in the Word. It doesn't change, and it has the power to change men's hearts. Notice the preeminence of the Word. Notice what he says here. Let me make sure I've got white. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is called Holy Scriptures. This is not an ordinary book. These are not ordinary words. Amen? Now, everything in here is fixed, right? It doesn't change. It's absolute objective truth. Amen? What was true for the early saints is true for us. It has the power to change men's hearts, right? It has the ability to bring us to wisdom and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And these are the very words of God. It's why they said inspiration. We could say what would probably be more true is expiration. It is the expiring of the breath of God. While these words were penned down by men, the Holy Spirit so superseded the writing of this word and made it so that they are the very words of God. And so Paul says here, these words, all Scripture, specifically here, Old Testament, because they didn't have a New Testament this time, but we could say the words of the Old Testament and the words of coming in the New Testament, all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is the breath of God. So these aren't just Paul's words. These are God's words. These are not just Scriptures. These are holy Scriptures. A holy God has penned down these words for us. Have confidence in this. They're God's words. They're powerful words. They're unchanging words. Understand this. There has been a lot of change in the last few weeks. Things seem to be moving at rapid pace in our country, the wrong direction. Things are changing quickly. Whoever thought that we would have to go to such great lengths to change our Constitution to make sure that we marry, and we can no longer just say that we're going to marry a male and a female. We have to say we're going to marry a biological male and a biological female. Because even that can change. The state of Oregon, I read yesterday, the state of Oregon has okayed transgender sex changes for children under 15 without a parental signature. Well, listen, things are changing. But what doesn't change is the Word. Just because our country changes, just because the majority of Americans see that it's true, doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it right. Our objective truth is here. Amen? The permanence of the Word, the power of the Word to change souls and change hearts, and the preeminence of the Word, it is God's Word. Have confidence in that. Continue in your confidence of the Word of God. Amen? Continue in your convictions. Continue in your confidence. And then finally, continue in your communication of the Word of God. Timothy's a preacher, right? So sinfulness, debauchery, persecution, does that muzzle a believer? No. No. But you don't understand. We'll be persecuted. Well, if our convictions are in the Word of God and our confidence is in the Word of God, how can we not communicate the Word of God? Amen. Now let me show you that if I can. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? It is profitable. Profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. For teaching. Profitable. That word means to be useful. are to accomplish something. That's where I get this first point, the accomplishing of the Word of God. Do you know that the Word of God, when it is read, preached, and taught, accomplishes something? What does it accomplish? It accomplishes teaching. Now, the word doctrine here, teaching, seems to be a wide scope of a word, while reproof and correction and instruction seems to be narrow. So I think that reproof, correction, instruction detail and define for us doctrine or teaching. What do we use to teach with? The Scriptures. Not our stories. You know stories. You know story preachers, skyscraper preachers. It's just one story on top of another. The reason I'm doing this is because the very essence of what our teaching is the Scripture. Amen? And in our day and age, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Scriptures. What I want you to be taught by is the Word, not me. Now notice here he says, it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. The word reproof there means stop. The Word of God tells you where to stop. Amen? You and I need the Word of God from time to time to tell us, stop. You're going the wrong way. Stop. Amen? The Word of God tells us to stop. But it also tells us the right direction to go. That's correction. It doesn't just say, stop, you're going the wrong way. It says, stop, you're going the wrong way. Here's the right way. And then there's instruction for righteousness. It doesn't leave us to grope along, but it leads us along the right way. Amen? Training us along the way. So the teaching of the Word of God tells us when to stop, where we need to get back on the right track, and then it trains us to walk the right way. It accomplishes that. Why would I go through the trouble of trying to get the text before you if I didn't believe that's true? Amen? I was looking at 2 Peter, who says, through the knowledge, the power of God has, through the knowledge of Christ, through the knowledge of the Scriptures, brings us to a place of godliness, and it helps us to refrain from the lust of our flesh. What does that? The Scriptures. I believe this. If I keep the Scriptures before you, if I keep the Word of God before you, it's going to accomplish something in your life for the glory of God. Notice, secondly, the administering of the Word. The administering of the Word. He says here that the man of God may be perfect. May be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does the Word of God administer? What does the Word of God give? It gives what you lack. You see, you need to be made perfect or complete because you're not perfect or complete yet. What you need to be complete is here. Amen? And so the Word of God is filling in the gaps where you are lacking. Amen? What you need, listen, what you need is the Word of God. And I think you need it Sunday morning in Sunday school. I think you need it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you need it at home. We've not arrived yet. You're not as far down the road intellectually and biblically as you think you are. You need the Word, and what completes us is the Word. It furnishes us. It makes us complete. It fits us. And then real quickly, the ability of the Word. Unto all good works. Do you know that if you do anything good, eternally good, it was furnished to you to do through the Word of God. Now what he says? He says that the man of God, through the teaching of the Scriptures, the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What fits us? What moves us toward doing good works? It is the instruction of the Word of God. Amen? So preach it. Declare it. Be a witness of it. Now, in the midst of sinfulness, in the midst of persecution, Paul says, Timothy, don't you give up. Don't you relent. Don't you abandon the Word. You continue in the Word because you are convinced that it's true. Amen? Your conviction is and has been that it's true. You believe these things. You receive these things. Amen? Your confidence is in that these are the words of God. Your confidence is in that these words are able to make people wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Your confidence is in these holy Scriptures. So continue in the confidence. Don't let the world or the culture or the changes cause you to doubt. You continue in the Word. Continue in the communication. Preach the same old message. Jesus Christ died for sinners because sinners are guilty before a holy God. Sinners are under the wrath of a holy God and cannot help and save themselves. But there is one who has come to rescue them from their sins. His name is Jesus. And if they will put their faith and trust in Him, they shall be saved. Keep preaching the message, whether they want to hear it or not. Preach, teach, and declare the message, because it will be the Scriptures that will make them perfect, will make them complete, and will give them that which they need to do good works. Amen? Stick to the Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We pray that tonight we have gleaned from Your Word truth. And we have not only heard it, but we have seen it, and we believe it. And I pray that You'd help us in a very uncertain world, a very tilting world. You'd help us to continue in the conviction that we believe the Word of God is true. Help us believe in the confidence we have in the Word of God to change hearts and to change lives. And help us to communicate and continue in that communication. Even though it may bring persecution, even though it may bring hatred, help us to communicate the truths of the Word of God, knowing that it is God's Word and will change lives. We love You and we thank You tonight in Christ's name. Amen.